There we go. Wow. This is really, okay. I guess what I want to ask you first, do you ever use repetition as a device, or would you consider using repetition as a device when you do your performance? Have you thought about that at all? I just wondered.
Well, I mean, of course, it's repetition.
Yeah, exactly. But do you do, like, would you ever, like, Giorno has this thing where he does, like, one line as a repetitive chorus. I just wondered if you've ever, like, if you've ever thought about doing anything like that or not. Or I guess you wouldn't know maybe until you're up there doing it.
Yeah, I think the chorus is kind of your thesis, and you just kind of, that's what the verses are based around, or that's the point you're driving home. But we'll see if I'll get postmodern with that. Maybe okay. I'll just sing a song in my underwear in a
okay.
funny hat.
I want to go back. I think of you as sex, drug, and spoken word, because that's your phrase. So I want to go right back, because I've seen interviews with you, and you seem to be like a scrapper, and I have a feeling like if you couldn't be doing poetry, you might be beating up something.
I might be just beating up myself.
Yeah. You want to say rural Ontario. Where are you from?
Yeah, I'm from rural Ontario. I'm from a little town on Highway 15 in between Kingston and Smith Falls.
What's the name of it? I'm just curious.
Called Portland.
Portland?
Yeah.
Oh, okay, okay. And I'm guessing that, again, from your lyrics, because I think writers write best what they know about, and you're very much about that, I think, my interpretation. Your mom was a piano teacher, is that right?
Yes, she was.
Wow, and that's where you learned how to play the keyboard?
No, she wouldn't teach me. She said I was tone deaf. Which
oh my
I probably
God.
Am. There was a piano in the house.
Yeah.
And I would bang on it. But it wasn't until my late teens that I really started to dig in.
Okay.
On the piano.
What lit the spark? What drew you to the spoken word? I need to know this.
Well, the West Coast was a big part of it. Because spoken word was very big there when I moved out.
Okay.
And it was just a matter of...
Were you on Commercial Drive? Is that where you went? Did you go there in the time? Not now, because it's really changed a lot, but back in the day?
Well, that's where I live now.
Okay.
I mean, it's changing, but my community's still there.
Okay.
We're still holding steady.
Okay.
For a little bit more anyway.
Okay.
No, back then it was more the downtown east side, and a lot of the venues were downtown, you know. The Cana Coffee Shop was happening on Commercial. But yeah, it was a magical place to be for a good period, and it still is. The young ones are still coming up, and that's all you need.
Yeah, exactly. Are you, so what did you read when you were a kid?
Chuck Berry is one of my favorite novelists. DJ Jazzy Jeff and the Fresh Prince.
Okay.
The Fat Boys. On the Road.
Kerouac. And did you read Bukowski? Do you, like, he's, I see kind of a Bukowski thing going on with you sometimes. I have his stuff on vinyl, so I know some.
All I'll
pieces.
Say about him is I was on a drive, or I was on an American run last weekend,
mm-hmm.
and the girls I was with were really into the Chili Peppers.
Okay.
And I was more a Beastie Boys kind of thing, and there was just a lot of dickheads listening to the Chili Peppers in high school, and
oh,
I was
that's
into
true.
The blues. But man, there's this great rhyme where they rhyme Bukowski with house key, and I think that's quite exquisite.
That is quite exquisite. One writer to another, how do you write? Is it hard? You find it hard?
No, you know, building a house is hard. Doing my laundry is hard. You know, trying to be friends with an ex-lover that drives you crazy is hard. You know, trying to raise a 12-year-old daughter in times of, you know, insecurity and mayhem is hard. You know, that's the most beautiful thing in my life. Sure, it's hard when you're trying to get the right line and stuff, but...
Do you call it down, or do you find it flows, or do you hear it ahead of time? Do you hear the music, or do you hear the words first? Or does it vary?
I kind of like what Dylan said. You know, I just write so I have something to say. You know, I sing other people's songs, but that, you know, my life is full of the chaos that it does. And so it's, you know, so it's like someone pisses me off and I write about that. And then I sit at the piano and maybe I was going to do some old blues song and it just turns into me singing those angry lyrics. So.
Okay, fair enough.
Or, you know, I see a beautiful woman and I write it down. What are you saying about that?
38 Bar Blues. This is you, I'm guessing.
Yeah, that's my book.
Is this based on you and your travels? And I'm also thinking that Motel Room is part of that. Is that right or wrong?
Motel Room is a song.
Yeah.
You know, it's also been called Motel 50 Miles Out of Town. That song is morphed 1,000 times.
Okay.
It must be like 20 different versions of that song, musically and lyrically. It's just a crazy chorus you can, you know, that you can ride off. Motel 50 Miles Out of Town and Let It Fly.
I just thought because of 38 Bar Blues, I thought that was a Motel 50 Miles Out of Town.
38 Bar Blues is my book on Right Bloody Publishing.
Yes, and I went to the site and I saw it. I saw an excerpt and I think it's great. And I asked Mandy to get it for me at Wordsworth, so I'm going to buy your book.
I worked very hard on it, very hard. I went through many editors. And, you know, there's like some of the scribbling turns into songs.
Right.
And the other scribbles turn into the spoken word. And those are all the ones that didn't work as either or.
Okay. I'm guessing...
They're
do
bastards.
Do you know...
Beautiful bastards. Ugly, beautiful bastards. Cunt, ugly, beautiful bastards.
Oh, I love this, because this is going on the radio. This is great. Do you know the Dial of Poets? Do you know who they are?
The Dial Poets?
Dial of Poets. It was like an Allen Ginsberg project.
Wow.
They had an album called You're the Guy I Want to Share My Money With, and it was John Journo, William S. Burroughs, and Laurie Anderson.
Oh.
And Patti Smith's involved, Kathy Acker, Karen Finley, Frank Zappa, all these people. And when I hear your work, it takes me back to that, which is why I wanted to interview you, because I think you're kind of the next generation of the Dial of Poets. It's so cool. It's amazing. And you're getting poetry out to people that wouldn't necessarily listen to poetry. It's because of your presentation, I think. There's a lot of theater in your work. Have you thought of getting into acting at all, or theater, or anything like that? I see it in your videos, so I'm just wondering.
Well, you know, if Spike Lee or Tarantino came a knocking,
I'm just wondering if you've ever done anything with Bruce McDonald. He's a Canadian director.
Oh, I know. Sure. Yeah. Know. He's great.
Yeah.
Last thing he did, I believe, was the Broken Social Scene movie.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
I haven't seen it.
This movie is broken. It's good.
Yeah.
I gotta ask
I'm
you.
I'm a little more old school. I know the earlier stuff. I loved it very much. He's kind of like the Canadian Jim Jarmusch.
He is. Yeah, exactly right. And he's got this rock and roll thing going on with him, too. So
yeah, so does Jim. So.
Harco Lobo is actually based on a band called Neon Rome, and a singer named Neil Arbuck, who was a heroin addict and could never finish a sentence. An interesting guy. A very interesting guy. I gotta ask you this, too. Folk singer. Did somebody piss you off? This is really funny. I kind of see people on the, like, every once in a while I see an amateur singer up there. And anyway, what sparked this? Because this is a really cool song.
Yeah, amateurs don't, it's got nothing to do with amateurs and professionals.
Okay.
It's just, you know, Woody Guthrie set a certain standard of about what a folk song is, and there's very few that have carried on that tradition. I think the only one really that comes to mind is Ani DeFranco.
Okay, and you've opened up for her. Yeah, she's great.
No, I haven't opened for Ani.
You haven't?
I shared the stage with her once.
Okay.
It's just, you know, I remember once when Miles Davis was in his Bitches Brew period, when he's doing the rock fusion.
Yes.
And I remember one of his musicians saying, you know, like, in that period, he was still doing the standards, like, still doing the old stuff. But no one could play the way he wanted to at that time. It's just the players weren't into that scene.
Yeah.
And once one of the musicians said to Miles, like, why don't you do those standards anymore? And he was like, I love them too much.
Well,
and that's how it is with folk music with me. You know, it just, no one knows. Like, these songs, you can starve for 15 days, not eat any food, not have any human contact, and those songs will keep you alive. But, you know, not a lot, not fucking what some of these motherfuckers are putting out there. But a true folk song. And so whatever, I have these songs that saved my life, and then I hit see these motherfuckers doing their shit, and so I wrote that song.
And
the radio!
I love it. I think it's great. The other song is Channeling Frustrated Energy, and I've been listening to this song, I don't know, it stays in my
head. That's my favorite song.
It stays in my head, and it's... I
wish more people would ask me about that than folks.
It's, again, biographical. So, what inspired you? Where were you? What made you put this down on paper? This is really neat, and it stays in my head. Is this the type of stuff that I really like?
Yeah, me too. I'm very proud of that. I think musically it sounds unbelievable.
Well, it's amazing. It's like
a string quartet with rock and roll. And
I love it. I love
it. It's live off the floor.
Yes.
I remember when we got the tape, you know, it was an amazing thing because I had to remember all the words and the players didn't know the song until that day in the studio. And it was an amazing experience. We all knew it. It was the tape. That was just, you know, I wrote it in my apartment when my lover was sleeping, and I couldn't sleep, and I just, I had this restless energy, and I let it all tumble out.
It's incredible. It's not like Lou Reed's heroin, because that's a totally different thing.
No, it's more like Lou Reed's New York.
Yes, it's the same, but it's the same sort of, I get the same sort of standard and attitude, especially with the instrumentation and your voice, because your voice is like an instrument. whether it's beatboxing or you're, I don't even know how to describe it. I don't want to describe it because it's so unique. I only have one last question here, and it's, you know, kind of an obvious one, but it's the future and more orchestrations of your work. I know that you're going to be working like with a 45-piece orchestra.
Yeah, I've already done it. I've got five songs with the Prague Symphony.
We're just finishing
that up right now. It's just hard because it's so slow.
Yeah.
You know, I would have liked to record that live off the floor, but it's impossible, and I couldn't afford it. Just that I was able to record a symphony is something.
That is something.
You know, maybe for the second half, I'll be able to record live off the floor. That's how I'd like to do it.
Okay.
But yeah, that's called that's the movie. But yeah, check out Subtitles for a Foreign Film. That's a live concert film. But the symphony project is called the Shattered Chandelier of the Grand Ole Opry.
There's lots of
Hank William ghosts. You know, what I find amazing is that, what, you know, like with Dylan, Joan Baez kind of brought him to the masses, and with Leonard Cohen, it was, what's her name?
Jennifer Warnes?
No, she did it too. She did it. It's cool because that was the second coming, but the first one, she just did a giant tour. She just played Penticton. Judy Collins.
Oh, yeah, okay.
And then, what the hell were we talking about?
Orchestras.
Oh, yeah, but with Hank Williams,
yeah,
it was Tony Bennett.
Oh, yeah,
because Tony Bennett covered Cold, Cold Heart.
I know, I think that's amazing.
And that pulled him out of the honky-tonks.
Yeah.
So this is kind of neat because it's kind of like, it's the Hank Williams lyric, but it's kind of, you know, it's kind of like a honky-tonk. Instead of Tony Bennett, it would have been like Hank Williams singing with the jazz orchestra. That's what I was going for.
I also,
sometimes it just sounds like a bad singer with this beautiful music.
It's almost like you belong in another time. It looks almost like you belong in the 1930s.
I belong in this time.
You do?
Because okay. I needed hip-hop in my
in
configuration.
Your life? Okay.
But, you
you're
know,
able to jump between music genres and jump between time eras really well. Like, you're like a chameleon. I mean, I saw Dungeon of Love, and it's all done in sepia, and it looks great, and the girls and everything else, and it's...
All the girls.
Totally awesome. Well, the girly show is going to be here tonight. I think the burlesque girls are going to be showing up here tonight for you. So that will be really interesting. But
Waterloo, motherfucker.
Waterloo, motherfucker. Especially in the jazz room. Can you do a station ID for Coral FM and then I'll let you be?
So I have to say it right, though. It's Coral?
Coral FM.
Coral FM.
On Sound FM.
Say it again. What am I supposed to say?
My radio show is called Coral FM. The radio station is called Sound FM.
Okay, I can do it. That's all I need.
That's all you need. All
right.
You don't need anything else. All
right.
Just need that.
This is not George Carlin. This is C.R. Avery. And you listen to Coral Radio on FM something. Buakasha.